0206.
RadioWXTC.net.
On 91.6 FM, you're listening to Radio.WXTC.net. Demand radio on demand. Radio for the DSL and cable generation. Email us radio@WXTC.net. Tune in online and listen to WXTC on demand. Unlike most radio stations online, WXTC makes all its programs available 24/7 on demand. So if you're in Dunleary or Dusseldorf, Sydney or Sutton, Lucan or Lisbon, tune in anytime to radio.wxtc.net. Demand radio on demand.
Radio.wxtc.net. Radio WXTC.net.
A jingle from yesteryear, from 2000, that was, when we were on FM 91.6 and claiming to offer demand radio on demand, radio for the cable and DSL generation. Oh, those were the days when for the second time we were ahead of our time. Today's programme, we talk about Al Jazeera International Television, podcast music licence for the UK, a run-up through the briangreen.com and the Podcast News Ireland blogs. The show's going to be about 27, 28, 29 minutes, who knows. And it's been recorded 5 p.m. Sunday, 19th of March, 2006. And something just in. I'm going to jump to the email for this. I've requested to play some music by Robert Sanderman. And I've got the approval. So, hey, Brian, you're very welcome to play American on your podcast. Thanks very much. All the best, Robert Sandman. So, at the end of the programme, we shall be playing something from Robert, a song called American.
Introducing a new vision in global television news. From international broadcast centres, Doha. Kuala Lumpur, Washington DC, and London. A 360 degree look at the world, showing news and current affairs programs with a fresh perspective. Every angle and every side. Al Jazeera.
AJI, or Al Jazeera International, is due to launch in May 2006 on the Sky platform of satellites in Europe. It hasn't succeeded in achieving a US partner to deliver its channels just yet, but it has been signing up talent to the station, and some people that have already been mentioned are Dave Marash, ex-ABC Nightline, Stephen Cole, Click Online from the BBC, you might be aware of him, and David Frost, Raghay Omar, you might remember him from the Gulf War 2, Riz Khan, and Shahnaz Pakravan. The Hindu Times said on February 26, "The irony is delicious. Arab money is buying up talent from Western media to enable a reversal of news perspectives on a scale unimagined. Israel, eat your heart out." Al Jazeera's English channel, to be launched in the next few months, will turn on its head all the old shibboleths about controls of the news. It makes no bones about the fact that it will use the best broadcasting talent the world has to offer to create a credible rival to CNN and BBC that is located in the Middle East and looking outward. Did the British ever imagine that the day would come when Sir David Frost would have his CV put out on an Arab venture? Well, here it is. Just one word there that I had to dash to the dictionary for. And that was shibboleths. It's the Hebrew word that literally means ear or wheat. In the Hebrew Bible, pronunciation of the word was used to distinguish members of a group whose dialect lacked the sh sound from members of a group whose dialect included such a sound. The consequences of getting it wrong were fatal. Today's shibboleth refers to the words and phrases that can be used in a similar way to distinguish members of a group from outsiders. So here comes AJI. They're testing at the moment on 11 681 on 27500 on Sky. You can check that out. It's not EPG'd yet. During the course of the day, AGI will follow the sun around the globe. That's an interesting news story. Let's follow the sun today. Because they'll be broadcasting 4 hours from Kuala Lumpur, 11 hours from Doha, 5 hours from London, and 4 hours from Washington. Each team, more or less, will determine its own news agenda. And that's the big argument. What will the editorial slant of an English-speaking Al Jazeera be? Now, a lot of people who have no time for Al Jazeera think they are the voice piece of Al Qaeda. And they would claim that they are not. And I'll give them the benefit of the doubt, but they just seem to rub imperialist governments up the wrong way. And, you know, questions are being asked, how will their news agenda deal with terms like occupation forces? And what will they do with messages from leaders of terrorist organisations? And what will they do with videos of detainees of Western captors in the Middle East? And some answers are emerging on how they will deal with these issues. So that's the arrival in May of Al Jazeera International. From podcastingnews.com, I read, UK podcast license poll. Podcast Nation, a site that features UK podcasts, is running a poll for UK podcasters only regarding a recently proposed MCPS PRS podcast license for music podcasters. The proposed license scheme is controversial among UK podcasters because the minimum fee for podcasting will amount to £200, $350 per year, which will make the use of traditionally licensed music prohibitively expensive for all but commercial podcasters. According to the PRS, the license is the first serious attempt by a European collection society to support the growth of music podcasting. The royalty rate for the Alliance Music Podcast Scheme will be the greater of 12% of gross revenue, or the minimum fee per track downloaded as part of the podcast, a full track 1.5p, half track less than 50% duration 0.75p. Now that's per download. The poll looks at whether podcasters feel that there is a need for the UK podcast license, whether the proposed rates are reasonable, and other issues facing UK podcasters. Well, over to Podcast Nation, where it tells me that it only is available and you should only take part and only vote once if you're a UK podcaster. So I won't fill it in, but let's say I was filling it in, how would I answer some of their questions? Do UK podcasters accept the need for any UK podcast license? Yes, no, or don't know. I vote yes, there's a need. Do UK podcasters think the proposed £50 per quarter rate for using MCPRS PRS licensed music is fair, too high, too low, or not acceptable? I'd say it's fair. Do UK podcasters think the voice-only podcast should be licensed? Yes, no, don't know. Absolutely no. Podcasters shall obscure at least 10 seconds at the beginning and end of each individual track played in a podcast with speech or station ID. Agree, disagree, or don't know. Could have a huge debate on that, but let's kind of agree to that for the moment. Deliver podcasts only in their entirety, not in individual tracks or portions of a podcast. The hell does that mean? Ensure that music constitutes no more than 80% of the total length of any programme. Agree, disagree, don't know. Okay, agree. Ensure that the podcast is at least 15 minutes in length. Agree, disagree, don't know. I disagree with that one. Take all reasonable steps to ensure that individual tracks within a podcast are not capable of being ripped, and the metadata or any other information or data transmitted or downloaded by the podcaster is not used to identify recordings from downloading for authorised databases or sites. Agree, disagree, don't know. I disagree with that one. Podcasters shall not produce podcasts that contain recordings from a single artist or have more than 30% of the musical works written by the same composer or writing partnership. Agree. Play any individual track more than once in a single programme. Generally, I would agree, but how would Elvis's career have been launched if that DJ couldn't have played his tracks back to back for a whole night? Shall not provide an electronic guide to the podcast which contains tracks played and corresponding times. Well, I disagree with that. You surely have to be able to show note your program and time code it, because that's what's proper and right. Shall not insert any flags or any other markers in the podcast which may directly indicate or which may be used to indirectly infer the start and end point of tracks and segments of copyright content. Bookmarking in podcasts. Do I agree or disagree? I disagree that that shall not be allowed. Incorporate repertoire works into advertising. Agree or disagree? Disagree. Use the repertoire in such a way, shall not use the repertoire in such a way as many may be taken to imply that any goods or services are endorsed, advertised or associated with the repertoire or any artist whose performance is contained on the repertoire or any other part who owns rights in connection with the repertoire. Disagree. And finally, do UK podcasters think there is a need for an organisation to represent the interests and protect the rights of UK podcasters? I think they're about to set one up. You can check that out at podcastnation.co.uk, and I urge you to maybe follow that, and if you are in the UK and are a podcaster, take part in it, because your views will be watched very, very closely. Broadly speaking, I am sitting here waiting for such vision to be landed upon the rights collectors in this country, and because they follow the neighbouring associations quite closely, I look forward to them coming up with a similar proposal and a lengthy and engaging debate to be had with the people involved, the stakeholders being the potential podcasters who want to enter that space and play music in their podcasts. Licensed music in your podcast, wouldn't it just be wonderful? If you don't listen to the Digital Flotsam with P.W. Fenton, check out his second last broadcast, I think it's issue 32, where he hymns and haws about the unavailability of licensed music as opposed to PodSafe music only in his particular podcast. Check that one out, digitalflotsam.org, I think. And now a quick run up rather than a run down through some of my blog postings in the recent past. And in around March 7th, 8th, I attended a business blogging forum in the Hilton Hotel in Dublin, and it was led by Michaela Nalan of Black Knight Solutions, and it was brilliant. It was just really good to be there, and Michaela led off and discussed to an audience that was mixed and varied, who were, you know, people who'd never blogged before, people who were getting into it, and serious hardcore bloggers, which I would not consider myself one. I would want to be one, but I'm not. There was some, as Bernie Goldbach put it, some elder states persons of the internet there. Well, that's actually not how he put it, but that's how I would put it, because it's a nicer way of putting it. And it was nice to see Frank Cronin and Fred from IBI and Denise Cox from Newsweaver and Bernie Goldbach and Sinead Murnane, my partner in Dupe, there. It was like a gathering of 10 years ago of the IIA and hangers-on, and it was great to see such people there. There was about 45 people in attendance, and it'll lead on to other discussions on blogging and podcasting, one coming up on April 12th, which I will be taking part in with Michaela, and I think Steve McCormick is also speaking at that in the IEI on Clyde Road on April 12th, and they are organised by the Irish Internet Association. Huge anger as South Dublin bin tax increases by €2. Here we go again. Back in January, we discussed an increase yet again in the Fingal County Council bin tax.
Huge anger as bin tax increases by €2 per tag and waivers are dropped from 21,000 to 9,700 in South Dublin. Campaigners against the bin tax called a protest at South Dublin County Council meeting at 4:30pm on Monday the 13th, protesting over the €2 per tag hike in the charge. And the campaigners who were against it at the time of the introduction of this tagging system and this double tax bin tax said, it won't remain at a fiver, or it won't remain at €6. This is heading to, megabucks, over €1,000 per annum in bin charges and another stealth tax. We have this great government, I obviously don't think they're great, but there you go, who tell us that our personal taxation is going down all the time, down, 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 and our wages are being held down because of partnership in lieu of lower taxes, less wages, all equates to us getting less money. At the same time, they're bringing in stealth taxes on everything, and they will tax just about, they'll tax people talking on podcasts, so I'll keep it to a minimum when we move on. Ulster 873, I was sitting in the car park of Lidl in Darndale. Is it Lidl or Lidl? I don't know. Any Germans listening? And I was tuned into the radio, and I was bored, so I hit the medium wave, and I started to DX and try and pull in some weaker signals, and I stumbled across a Commons debate from the British House of Commons, and they were talking about remuneration packages for soldiers in the Royal Irish Regiment, and I thought, hey, that's not Five Live, because I've just passed them and they're not playing that out, but and couldn't work out what was on 873 gigahertz. It was some local radio station from the UK, and I swung up to 1341 kilohertz to find that the same output was going out on BBC Radio Ulster. Back to 873, and yes, it was BBC Radio Ulster, and a frequency I wasn't accustomed to hearing them on. And on checking the web, I find that it's a 1 kilowatt transmission, and I blogged about it to see if anyone could tell me where the transmitter site was, because it isn't listed as being the same site as 1341 in Lisnagarvey. So if anyone does know where 873 kilohertz comes from for a Radio Ulster, I was picking it up. It was audible, but it wasn't strong on 873 kilohertz. The Blog Awards. We attended the Blog Awards, and probably what was more important for podcasters was the fringe that was put on beforehand by Bernie, which ran from about 3 to 6pm, and that was on March the 13th, was it? The 13th? See, I blog a day behind, so I'm not sure what date it was. It was March the 11th. I blog 4 days behind, okay. So the podcasters were podcasting away and discussing their trade and their business, and you can hear some of that output, a lot of that output, at podcasting.ie, where Bernie has put together program one of a possible two or three programs from those recordings that were made that day in the Alexander Hotel in Dublin. I urge you to go along and have a listen to that. Con from Imalloch, the Imal podcast, won a blog award that night for text blogging, not for his podcasting. And Tom Raftery won one for his tech journalism skills in the textual blogging end of the scale, and not for his podcasting capabilities. So it was nice to see some podcasters winning some of the blog awards that night. And I blog some of the music that I lashed out over the PA system at the end of the evening. All these are on my blog, and you can read them in full at briangreen.com. Homemade iPod amplifier. Well, it was St. Patrick's Day, and I was just about to become very ill with a vomiting bug, and I was killing time while attending to my daughter Vanessa, who had the bug and still has it, unfortunately, 2.5 days later, and I think that's where I picked up the bug from. But anyway, I was killing time, and I was looking for an amplifier for my iPod, so I converted a Sony dictaphone that was broken. Its recording mechanism had died many years ago, and I had a compact, you know, speaker system within it, and I said, if I could only make that amplify what it's taking as an input as I record, which it isn't set to do, because that would just hell feedback of its internal or external microphone out its own speaker, but I was going to put in a line input so that wouldn't feed back. So I did a bit of probing around on the board and came up with a homemade iPod amplifier. Check out the details on the blog. And we'll switch blogs to Podcasting News Ireland at dupe.ie/podcasting_news. And the BBC reports that younger people are pursuing other interests. Fewer young people are watching television, according to a report by media watchdog Ofcom. Between December 2003 and December 2005, total TV reach declined, but the biggest fall was among young people. It fell by 2.9% for 16 to 24-year-olds. During 2005, reach declined by 2.2% in that age group. Reach is defined as at least 15 minutes of consecutive TV viewing in a week. Figures say that the decline could be due to the growth of the internet. You're joking. One morning I woke up and discovered that I was listening to Lyric FM, where 2FM should be. And I was listening to Radio na Gaeltachta, where Radio 1 should be. This was on Astra 2D digital satellite, free-to-air. And a bit perplexed by what was going on, I checked out the PID numbers for these stations, and they seemed to have all gone and got switched without my system being clueful enough to associate the new PIDs with the old PIDs and update itself. So a bit of a transponder update was required across two receiving packages and also on the free-to-air Technomate. So it was three machines in the house had to be updated to get all the RTE radios back on track. So the new PIDs and the old PIDs for the audio channels of the four RTE satellite broadcasts are there on the podcasting_news blog. Making Waves launches. www.podcastingireland.ie launches first channel Making Waves on Friday evening, March 10th at 6pm in The Village in Wexford Street. And they brought out a promo to mark the launch. And the show is, it's a music singer-songwriter kind of show presented by John Power, ex-2FM DJ. And it's available for download each Friday onto your iPod. As mentioned earlier, Con from the Amal podcast has recorded on the 16th of March his 100th program. So congrats to Con for that. If you want to check out his podcast, this is the URL to visit. Imal@blogspot.com. That's spelt Imeall at blogspot.com. WXTC.net, Brian Green, podcasting and musing through some of the entries in my blogs in the recent past. Paddy's Day and AQ Radio launches Celtic Music Internet radio stations for St. Patrick's Day. This is in the streaming end of the world, and if you want to check that out, visit the blog dupe.ie/podcasting_news, where you can get all the links. And finally, just an update on the item we had in the last podcast, where we were waiting on Paddy's Day to see if the number of podcasts in the world exceeded 36,000 to match the number of radio stations worldwide. And by all accounts, and after a little bit of research, it has happened. You can check out more details on that in tomorrow morning's edition of SiliconRepublic.com, where there'll be a news item that will come out early morning about that. But basically, the numbers add up, and there are now more podcasts than radio stations in the world. Now, that all depends on where you get your figures from, and you can debate the figures with me if you like, but because I can only hear about 120 radio stations in my country, and I can access online in broadband 38,000 podcasts, I think that's a mighty weight of choice against the amount of radio I can hear. And I'm not putting that out in an anti-radio kind of way, because I think radio has a wonderful future. And let's just hope that the people who've been programming it for the last 25 years retire, because, you know, it's their time to go, and that new blood comes in and gives radio a kick up the arse and gets interesting again, because it's about bloody time. WXTC.net, Brian Green podcasting, and I was supposed to keep this one short, and I've just passed 23, which with a bit of editing might come down to about 22 and a half minutes. Thanks for listening, and do tune in again soon, and happy St. Patrick's Day belatedly to all our listeners. See ya. Goodbye. Okay, bit of an extra treat for you. We have some music to play for you. Podsafe of sorts, also available to buy on iTunes if you're in the States, which is really annoying, which means I can't run out and buy this right now. Where are the details on this particular artist? It came in from musicsubmit.com this morning. I sent off my usual, can I play this in my podcast request? And the artist themselves gets back to me and says, sure you can, go for it, Brian. So it's Robert Sandyman, or Sandman, I don't know, someone come back to me and tell me how to pronounce that. Pop singer-songwriter, think Paul Simon, James Blunt and a hint of Neil Young. Singer-songwriter Robert Sandyman is 30, lives in Edinburgh, Scotland. He started learning piano at the age of 4 and has been composing for almost as long as he can remember. He's growing up in the northeast of Scotland in the UK. Robert listens to and was influenced by a variety of music from classical to blues, country and pop. Influences include Paul Simon, The Beatles, Eric Bibb and David Gray. He performs at the Edinburgh Acoustic Edinburgh, and that was founded by Katie Tunstall, who we have played here before on WXTC.net. And final piece of trivia from the biog. He's a cousin of Anika, or Mary Sandyman. Japanese boy, 1980. Oh yeah, we're not allowed to play that, are we? No, we're not, actually. We shall move on and play out with this track called American from Robert Sandyman. Now, where did we file the song? Yes, we found it. From me to you, until the next time we meet on the digital bites that are the internet. Ciao, bye. from the album Surrender. That's Robert Sandyman and American. More details from www.romalpa.com. www.romalpa.com, spelled R-O-M-A-L-P-A.com. That's it for the show. See ya. Bye-bye.